Good morning. Hey, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I just have one quick thing I want to share with you. It doesn't really pertain to my message. Something I found and I thought was kind of neat. And I hope it'll pull up. Yeah. So, question. What is the shortest chapter in the Bible? Anybody know? He probably knows. Psalms 117. What is the longest chapter in the Bible? Psalms 119. Which chapter is in the center of the Bible? Anybody want to guess? Psalms 118. There are 594 chapters before Psalm 118. There are 594 chapters after Psalm 118. Add those two 594s together and you get 1188. Anybody want to guess what the center verse in the Bible is? Psalm 118:8. 1188. Does this verse say something significant about God's perfect will for our lives? The next time someone says they would like to find God's perfect will for their lives and that they want to be in the center of His will, just send them to the center of His Word. Psalms 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Guys, I every once in a while I see these crazy things on Facebook. Somebody will share it, and it hits me at a time when I needed to hear it. And I want to be in the center of His will. So I read some out of Psalms this week, and I thought, man, this is where we're going. And you know I'm preaching because the sermon message is blank. That's because on Thursday when Julie texted me, I had no idea where we were going. I really wanted to preach out of the Psalms 118th. But I warned you 4 months ago that this message was coming, and it's coming. And I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it this morning. Tithing. What does tithe mean? The definition of tithe means one-tenth. Has nothing to do with church. If you look up tithe in the dictionary, it will say one-tenth. Now, before you all panic, because I've been there, I've heard messages on tithing. What happens? The church is wanting more money. They want to build something. They want more money. Or the church is financially not sound. They want more money. I've heard messages. I've got phone calls. I've got letters in the mail saying, you know, you are $294 behind on your annual tithe. Seriously? Seriously. So I am probably the last person I ever thought would talk about tithing. And I'm not talking about tithing from a church standpoint. I'm not talking about, hey, I want to take the principles in the Bible, the messages, the passages we're going to see today, and I just want you to equip you with those. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't. Okay? He doesn't need your money. He can do anything, and He doesn't need your money. So I'm not asking for more money, understand that. What I'm trying to do is, and what God has laid upon my heart is, I know people struggle. I know some of us now are struggling. I'm not going to share that, right? Yeah, I am. You know, and Chris doesn't know I'm going to share this, and I think this is going to be, again, I've said before, these messages are probably more for me than they are for you. This one's probably for me. Let's pray before I go any further. Dear Heavenly Father, just you've laid this on my heart. You've badgered me with it, and I'm going to do what you want, Lord, and I don't know where it's going to lead, but just put the words you want me to speak into my mouth and let them flow. In your name we pray. Amen. So about 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, Chris and I were, I think we were just getting ready to come here. We weren't being faithful with what God had given us. We were writing checks to a church, but it was not what we should be writing. And sometimes we would rob Peter to pay Paul for softball spikes or for whatever, okay? Chris and I got a hard dose of reality. We were served foreclosure notice papers, beginning stages foreclosure notice. And I think the reason this is God's laid this on my heart is I need closure on that because I'm not there anymore. And it's by the grace of God. You know, the first thing Chris and I did when we got that paper, we prayed. And we were broken. We were embarrassed. We were broken. Our kids, I don't know if they still know today what that all went on. But we prayed. And, you know, luckily my parents were in a place, they were able to loan us a few thousand dollars to take care of it. It's not like we weren't. We were 2 months, okay? It wasn't like we were 10 months behind. We were 2 months, and they had just sold their house, and we're building a new house, and they gave us that money, and I knew I was getting a bonus check, so I knew I was going to be able to pay it back, and I did pay it back the next month. And from that point forward, Chris and I made a commitment. I don't care what it costs. God's getting his off the top. And guys, I'm telling you, you think, man, I couldn't live on 100% before. How am I going to live on 90? God will provide it. He will provide it. Listen, we are in a good place right now. And I know from the bottom of my heart, it's because we made that commitment. And we committed to God that we were going to give him what was his. Now, churches today, I don't know. You know, I just told you God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money. God wants your attitude and your discipline more so than anything. Okay? We're going to get into all that. So what I want to do is just give, I want to feed you all what the Bible has to say about tithing and giving, and then from there you do what you want. Because there is not somebody here, Les and Jesse and I and all the leadership in the church, we have always vowed that we are not ever going to run this church off of tithing. We're going to do what needs to be done, help people that need to be helped, and God will take care of everything else. We got this morning in the mail, I got my my OMS statement, the church did. And guys, I'm telling you, you don't need to know the numbers, but God is good. And God has provided for this church, and he's pulled us through a lot of rough times because we've been faithful with our finances, and we have still been, I'll just tell you, we've already given to the OMS this year more than what our tithe was last year, more than our 10% of our tithe was last year, and that's because it's here in abundance. Financially, don't worry about the church. We're here. I think we are on the verge of being ready to go for a new pastor. Les has been praying about it. Jesse has been praying about it. I know you all have been praying about it because you're tired of hearing me, tired of hearing Matt, tired of hearing Les. But we don't want to get to where we're making bad decisions with God's money, but we also want to have faith. Okay? So that's just all background noise. On a positive note, I do want to tell you, I got a phone call 3 weeks ago from Dora. And again, I think God's timing is perfect because, man, I was questioning whether my message was very good Sunday. And Dora called me, and Dora never calls me. But Dora called me, and I thought, she said, hey, I just listened to the message on the website, and I thought, oh, no. And then she says, And I just wanted to call and thank you because it was what I needed to hear today. God's perfect. God's perfect. All right, let's get into this a little bit. I want to elaborate a little bit on Les's. We understand that the woman that Les shared in the story last week understood God was speaking through Elijah, correct? And in her way, she gave and tithed to God because she did not have enough bread and oil, flour and oil. She had one loaf of bread left, she thought. And guys, God took that little bit of oil, that little bit of flour, she gave to Elijah, she gave to her son, and she never was in want. Okay? That's the message I want you to take. God doesn't want you to want. Okay? I didn't have to look very far. I found my favorite verse on tithing pretty early on. It's, if you'll turn with me to Malachi. I bet I didn't even mark it. What's that? Chapter 3, and we'll start 10. Actually, I'm going to start a little bit earlier. You asked, but how do we return? Begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. And yet you ask, how have we robbed you? The tithe and offering, that's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury, that there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, I will defend you against marauders, protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens against plunder. So that's pretty cool. I mean, guys, if you can read that verse and think, Matt's up there and he wants our money. I don't want your money. I want you to be blessed by God. For eternity. For eternity. He's not going to turn his back on you. So there's one. And there is hundreds of verses that talks about giving. So you can go any direction you want. I want to go to Malachi chapter 1 too while I'm here. And we're going to start in verse 6. Isn't it true that if a son honors his father and a worker his master? So if I'm your father, where's the honor? If I'm your master, where's the respect? God of the angel armies is calling you on the carpet. You priests despise me. You say, not so, how do we despise you? By your shoddy, sloppy, defiling worship. You ask, what do you mean defiling? What is defiling about it? When you say that the altar of God is not important anymore, worship of God is no longer a priority, that's defiling. And when you offer worthless animals for sacrifices in worship, animals that you're trying to get rid of, blind and sick and crippled animals, isn't that defiling? Try a trick like that with your banker or your senator. How far do you think you will get? Guys, again, this isn't about the percentage. This is about offering our best. You know, and I raise some sheep, and we have different ewes that we breed for different purposes, and we have some sheep that we breed early so that we have them for Easter lamb sale so we can take to this auction, and they pay $2 a pound for these dudes at 80 pounds, and these sheep are not worth $50, okay? But then we breed some other ones later so that we have fair lambs or ewe lambs to replace or whatever. The ewe base is different. God wants our best. Can you imagine being one of these people that took a sacrifice to God, a cow that couldn't walk? Or a goat that was not perfect? It was drawn out for these guys what they were supposed to offer in sacrifice. But yeah, I think, do we do that today? We know what we're supposed to do. It's drawn out for us what we are supposed to do. And I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about Christianity. But do we try to pass the minimum? Do we do it in our jobs? Do we do it in our home life? Do we do it in our marriages? Do we do it at church? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. So we're not much different than the Bible people. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. You know, I love this Bible because of the way it spells it out in simple language. But I don't love this Bible because it doesn't have the verses. It has the verses over here in the, and it's all grouped together. So you're going to get some extra verses today. But I think it's important because they're grouped together for a reason. So this is Proverbs 3. We're going to start in verse 5. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Do not try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one that will keep you on track. Here's probably the most important verse. Do not assume you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones vibrate with life. Again, I love the way this simplifies it and dumbs it for me. Because I needed to hear that this morning. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Do not try to figure out everything on your own. Because I was trying to figure a sermon out on my own this morning at 7:15 in the morning because I did not want to do this one. God already had this one laid out. I didn't want to do it. Do not try to figure things out on your own. When Chris and I's situation approach, or when it showed up, literally, that's the first time I think her and I both at the same time without saying a word, just turn and pray. That was pretty cool. That moment I'll never forget in my life. Not because of the problem, but because I think that was a moment where she and I became on the same page, and it's been good ever since. Let's go to Luke. And I know we're Bible hopping, but I think there's a lot in here that we need to look at. And I'll make sure we're not way over time. Luke chapter 6. We're going to start just one verse. Verse 38. It says, give away your life. You'll find life given back, but not merely given back. Given back with a bonus and a blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. You know, I wish I'd have had that verse when my kids were little. Right? I had it. I'm just too dumb to find it. You'll find that it's not only given back, but with a bonus. God wants to take care of you. However, this does not say It does not say, it says, give away your life. Meaning, give away everything. It doesn't matter. Understand something. I'm not telling you to go out there and give away everything you own. Okay? I'm telling you to have a giving heart. To have a heart that is compassionate. To have a heart that cares about people. Have you ever found something good after you did something good? It's not coincidence. That's God. That's God. Luke 18. We'll get to the main passage here in a minute, I promise. Verses 9 through 14. I love this story. He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses on common people. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax man. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week and I tithe on all my income." Meanwhile, the tax man slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, and said, "God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner." Jesus commented, "This tax man, not the other, went home made right with God." If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to simply be yourself, you will become more than yourself. And we already know what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those guys did. They were nothing but common criminals. They just didn't know it. I mean, they crucified our Lord. They paid people off to make sure it happened that way. Tax guy was doing his job. Tax guy was doing his job. But he probably cheated too. Alright. I want to go to 2 Corinthians. This is one of the ones I'm going to use as a main passage. I just wanted to give you a few that... I mean, there's a ton of them. You can find them. It's not difficult. I'm not very smart. I know how to Google. I know how to dig in and look. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 13. In a farming community, this should fit the bill. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and am twisting. God loves it and am twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never runs out, never wear out. Guys, we will reap what we sow. If we do it with a grateful, loving, caring heart, we will reap more than what we sow. Because our God will take over. It says, he throws caution to the winds. Well, that's talking about somebody else. But if God puts this in our Bible, guys, he's going to use it. He's going to use it. All right? Mark 12. Now we're going to do two passages here in Mark 12. I'm going to start in verse 13. And the title says, Paying Taxes to Caesar. They sent some Pharisees and followers of Herod to bait him, hoping to catch him saying something incriminating. They come up and said, Teacher, we know that you have integrity, that you are different to public opinion, indifferent to public opinion. Don't pander your students and teach the way of God accurately. Tell us, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? He knew it was a trick question and said, Why are you playing these games with me? Bring me a coin and let me look at it. They handed him one. The engraving, who does it look like and whose name is on it? He said, Caesar, they said. Jesus then said, Give Caesar what is his, and give God what is his. Their mouths hung open, speechless. And that translation is probably different than what you're reading, if you're reading King James, or you're reading New Living, or NIV. This is the MAP version, okay? The simplified version. Give Caesar what is Caesar. So therefore, he's telling us we have to pay taxes. Okay? Christians don't get a free pass on taxes. However, I think he's telling us something else. Anybody have a dollar bill? I do. One. Somebody tell me what we see on every piece of money we have. Right here on the back. In God we trust. Guys, this is His money. It's His money. Now He gives it to us to let us do cool stuff, right? But this brings an important question. And it's been argued for years. It'll be argued for years. Do you give off the gross or the net? What do you pay taxes off of? Pay taxes off of our gross, right? Don't you think we ought to give to God off our gross? And again, you take with this what you want, make your decision. I'm good with it. But I think Jesus, by answering that question, give Caesar what is Caesar's, He made it plain to us how he thinks about tithing. Okay, let's go to Mark a little further back, 41 to 44. Actually, we'll do 40. He continued teaching. Watch out for the religion scholars. They love to walk around in academic gowns, preening in the radiance of public flattery, basking in prominent positions, sitting at the head of the table at every church function, and all the time they are exploiting the weak and the helpless. The longer their prayers, the worse they get, but they'll pay for it in the end. Sitting across from the offering box, he was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in two small coins, a measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, The truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. He does not need your money. It's not the dollars he's cared about, he cares about. It's how we give. You know, if I put $2 in, you know, I'll waste $2 driving around this afternoon. Maybe not today because it's nice out. All right? But God is faithful when we are faithful. Matthew, I'm almost done. And I could go on for days, honestly. Matthew 25. The story about investment is what mine says. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, to a third $1,000, depending on their abilities. So let's just talk about that for a second. If we were to look at this, which one do we think had more abilities? The guy with $5,000, right? The master gave him the most money. Let's read on. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with a single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commanded him, "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner." The servant with $2,000 showed how he had also doubled his master's investment. His master commanded him, "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner." The servant given $1,000 said, "Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound to the last cent." The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done was to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the $1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on the limb. Throw him into the utter darkness. Guys, God's given us a lot. He's given us a lot. We do not want to be the guy that plays it safe. And we don't use what God gives us to further what God can have. Understand that we are using borrowed time from God, borrowed resources from God. It's not ours. It's not ours. And 15, 20 years ago, I said, "Well, I'm the one that got the job. You don't think God had anything to do with that?" You know, you don't think God had anything to do with being able to open your own business, being able to do whatever. He's the reason. He gave you the gifts and the talents to acquire it. Use our gifts and our talents, our abilities, our resources to further our God. However you do that, that's fine. Don't be afraid to take a chance on a guy who died on the cross for you. You know, I'm going to be a proud dad for a minute. I say proud, I'm not being prideful, I'm just saying. If you think your kids don't listen and don't watch, I'm telling you they do. They do. I have two daughters, I have three daughters, two of which work full time. It was never in question. They write a check every week. It's kind of cool to see. I don't care what the amount is, but I know that discipline is there, and that discipline is instilled in them. Every week they write a check. It could be $5, it could be $300, I don't know. I don't care. God doesn't care. He wants the discipline from us to know that we are going to use what He has given us to further His kingdom. That's what tithing is. But we all hear tithing and we think, oh gosh, Matt's going to ask for more money. God doesn't need your money. I'm not telling you to stop giving. I'm telling you, the amount doesn't matter. Here's a little known fact. This church is giving more now with less people than we did when we had a full-time pastor. Go figure. Okay? God's using us, people. God is using us. So I'm going to finish up with the reasons to tithe. Number one, the Bible tells us to. In the Old Testament, there is just thousands of examples of rules of why you should tithe. So, number one, God tells us to. The Bible tells us to. Number two, it shows our discipline to our God. Number three, and you're going to look at me funny, it grows our faith. How does it grow our faith? By giving more money, or giving more time, or giving more effort. I'll use effort. If we give more effort and we are dead tired at the end of the day, what happens the next day? God refreshes us and He brings us right back to do the same thing. For me, not as much as I'm not as refreshed as I used to be when I was 25. I worked hard yesterday. I'm telling you, I got in the hip. It's bad. But it'll be okay. But God grows our faith through our tithing. Because what happens? I guarantee you, if you're tithing 10%, the 90% of money you have left is going to go further than the full 100% did before. And if you ever need proof of that, ask Matt, ask Les. I've heard Les's story. Literally, guys, I'm telling you, we were not being faithful, and we always were looking for money. I'm not making much more money than I did then. But I'm giving what I should be giving to my God. And there's times when I don't know how the math works. And you can ask Chris the same thing. We're amazed. And that's because our God, the God that died on the cross for us, cares for us. And when we're faithful and when we're dedicated to what He wants, He's going to let the blessings come. Last thing, why we tithe. It shows our worship to God. Guys, we talk about worship, and what do we think about? We think about coming in, we sing a few songs, we do this. I'm telling you, every part of our Christian life shows God worship. So when dumb Pop guy is driving around in his car thinking about whatever, I should be showing God worship. When Matt's out working on a piece of equipment, he's showing God worship. How do we do that? Because other people see how we respond to situations. And they say, man, there's something different about that cat. So it's pretty cool. I'm glad nobody got up and ran out when they heard that we were talking about tithing. Thank you for that. But what I do want you to take is, that's between you and God. this church, as long as I'm a part of this church and Wes and Jesse are a part of this church, we're never going to call you the rug because we think you should be getting more money. Okay? That's between you and God. We want you to have the best relationship with God you can. And in doing that, tithing's a part of it. We believe as leadership, we believe that tithing is part of it. You can find churches that don't care about tithing. But to me, it's not about tithing, it's about the discipline you've instilled in your life. God paid it all for you. Are you willing to be disciplined and do what God wants you to do? Alright. With that, I'm done. We're going to close up. The praise team will be here, I think, and we'll have a song, and Les and I will be here. And if you need to talk to anybody, if you need to pray for anybody or about anybody or for you, whatever, please come forward. We love, love, love to pray for people. That being said, we have some 8th graders going to Washington, D.C. this week. Keep those guys in your prayers. Jacob and Alan. Oh, my goodness. We're both going on the 8th grade trip to D.C., and it's going to be cool for them because they're going to be there for Memorial Day weekend, but by the same token, there's going to be a lot more security and everything else Memorial Day week. So it's going to be stressful for the chaperones and everybody. But pray that they have safe travels. Pray that they have a great time. Those two guys can make a difference. All right? That I'm done. Praise team.